Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
For a long time, people have told us to think positively. Henry Ford is credited as saying, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." This statement is all about positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book in 1952 called The Power of Positive Thinking. And in 2006, Rhonda Byrne wrote a book called The Secret, which claims that our thoughts can directly change our circumstances. And there is some science behind it. But what I want us to understand today is that God's word tells us to think a certain way too. Please stay with me for a few minutes today as we discuss the topic of set your minds.
Lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Sin upon the cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
The context for today's lesson is set in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Let's read it together. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. In verse 19, Paul talks about a group of people who, quote, set their minds on earthly things. What I want us to figure out today is how we set our minds on heavenly things. We sing a song in our songbooks from time to time called The World's Bible. In it, the writer conveys, we are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. Oftentimes, when somebody comes to Jesus, it is due to the work and life of another Christian, rather than simply them picking up a Bible and reading it and coming to Christ on their own. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." The first experience that most people get with the gospel of Jesus is watching one of his followers. The question is to us, what are we showing them? The beginning of the verse in our context says, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now, I will often tell people to cut out the middleman at some point, meaning if you are following me because I am Christ-like, you might as well just follow him because I will disappoint you at some point, but he never will. However, please understand that following the example of Christians is biblical and is often necessary, especially early on in someone's journey. The question for us as Christians is, what kind of example are we presenting? I think that many times we don't look different enough from the world and they see no reason to follow us. So how do we become the examples that we need to be? Well, look at verses 18 and 19 again. Paul begins his conclusion in verse 1, and in verse 2, he warns the Philippians about false teachers. In verses 18 and 19, he is giving an example of those false teachers. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Sadly, Paul is talking about people who profess to be Christians, but notice his description of them. Their God is their appetite. Because Paul is probably speaking about those of a former Jewish faith, he may be talking about their eating practices as Jews that they were continuing to follow, as well as forcing those views upon others. But it can also be referencing to our desires in general. Have you ever heard the expression, quit thinking with your stomach? Meaning that someone cannot concentrate on the moment until they fill their earthly desire to eat. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. These professing Christians allow their worldly desires to lead them in making their decisions. These people are again becoming slaves to sin. Not only are they slaves to it, but they seem pretty happy about it. Paul again says, whose glory is in their shame. Our glory should be in Jesus. But for these false teachers, they actually glory in the things that should cause them shame. Again, I believe this is the world that we're living in today. The very things that we should be ashamed of, theirs are the very things that have become glorified. We tout abortion as a woman's choice and are proud because it represents the equality of women. This is something that used to be shameful and people would try to hide it, but now it is glorified as forward thinking. Think about fornication and adultery as well. These are things that once seemed shameful, but now are staples in our society and represent freedom of choice and are often glorified even in supposed Christian circles. Paul also states that these folks set their minds on earthly things. This has not changed. Now, the specific earthly things may have changed a little, but for the most part, people still make decisions based on how it will affect their earthly lives. While it is nice to have earthly things, and God often provides for his people in abundance, we cannot set our minds on them. Our focus should not be to gain as many earthly things as possible. But it seems that the group of professing Christians that Paul is speaking of is doing just that. The key is setting our mind on heavenly things, and that key is in verses 20 and 21. We are told that our citizenship is in heaven. If that's where we are citizens, then that's where our focus should be. Our mindset about eternity will absolutely affect the way we act and even think in the here and now. If we, like these folks that Paul is warning about, focus on earthly wealth and gain, then what hope do we have of eternity? The answer is obvious: none. In Matthew chapter 6, three times Jesus addresses this attitude and tells his audience what the result of that mindset would be. He says, if you give, pray, and fast the way the hypocrites do for earthly attention, then you have your reward in full. There will be glory for you here, but that is all. I hope we would all rather have a heavenly reward, but to do that, we need to set our minds on it. So until next time, I encourage you to set your mind on heavenly things.